insightful podcasts by informative hosts. Insights into Things, a podcast network.
Welcome to Insights into Entertainment, a podcast series taking a deeper look into entertainment and media. Your hosts, Joseph and Michelle Whalen, a husband and wife team of pop culture fanatics, are exploring all things from music and movies to television and fandom.
Welcome to Insights into Entertainment. This is episode 86, Disney Takes a Holiday. I'm your host, Joseph Whalen, and my vibrant and inspirational co-host, Michelle Whalen.
Hi, everyone.
Not so vibrant today.
Not so vibrant. But thanks. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Well, it's because we're doing it too soon after lunch. That's what always happens.
No, it's because it's cold.
It's not too. Well, it's warm in the studio, though.
Right. So maybe I'll wake up.
That's, you're like a lizard. When it gets cold, you just don't do anything.
I just want to sleep. Leota and I were napping. So,
nice. You know. So we've got a pretty busy show today in our Disney Detective. We'll talk about California officials taking a trip to Orlando. We'll talk about Animal Kingdom hyenas getting the Disney princess treatment and a major reorg in Disney. Should be interesting. In our Tales from the Edge of the Galaxy, Pedro Pascal himself talks about spending more time on set during season two. Then we'll talk about George Lucas realizing just how bad the holiday special really was.
Really?
And we'll also talk about a new lightsaber coming to Galaxy's Edge from a popular recent Star Wars game. Mm-hmm. In our entertainment news, we'll talk about Matt Damon trolling Ben Affleck for losing his job as Batman. Then we have some Batman news, some good news from the set of the new movie. And then Adam Sandler comes to our neck of the woods in Philly to shoot a new film. We'll talk about that as well. Then we'll finish up, as always, with our insightful picks of the week. Ready to get into it?
Sure.
All right, let's go. Oh, wait, no. Before we do that. Before we do, I'm not reading the script. That's my problem. I got to read. I got to stick to the script. Before we start, I do have to throw a couple plugs out there and ask folks to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Amazon. And also reach out to us with your feedback. We did get feedback, some actually very pleasant feedback recently from a viewer named Matt. I wanted to thank him for his input.
Shout out to Matt.
Shout out to Matt. You too can get a shout out from us if you email us at comments@insightsintothings.com. You can hit us on Twitter at Insights Into Things. You can also hit us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightsintothingspodcast. Or you can get all of our social media links on our website at www.insightsintothings.com. Now we'll get into it. Go for Disney Detective.
So a bunch of people from California state officials actually made a trip to kind of figure out how things are going in Florida to kind of get an idea about what they can do, obviously, in California. So, you know, in a statement they said, you know, we're grateful for the opportunity to share our enhanced health and safety protocols with state officials, including representatives from GoBiz and the California Department of Health earlier this week. We hope this brings us closer to a positive resolution on behalf of the entire industry. Obviously, we know all of the theme parks in California still remain closed, and, you know, they're trying to obviously, you know, come together, you know, with all of this. And then, of course, unfortunately, the news that came out not that long just a couple of weeks ago was that, you know, more employees from the Disney parks were going to be were let go. Also, not only in California, but also in Florida, because they're obviously not open to, you know, 100%, you know, capacity. So, you know, it's kind of going in the right direction, I guess. You know, but the other thing too is that, you know, no known cases of COVID-19 have been linked to any of the Florida parks. So obviously everything that they're doing, all the safety measures are working. So hopefully, you know, this could be some good news. You know, again, still no dates. You know, at this point, you know, we're what, the middle of October. I'm not thinking the parks are probably going to open until, you know, January at this point. I'm thinking they're not even going to be, you know, but I don't know, because they, you know, they have been showing pictures, you know, from what people can see that go to Disney Springs in California, that they have safety, you know, plexiglass up in various, you know, so the park looks like it's ready to open. I just don't know how quickly they'd be able to turn around, you know, and open up right off the bat. So
I'm curious what actually spawned the trip. Was this a fact-finding trip from the officials in California, or was this an invitation from the parks?
I'm not sure, because there were Orlando. A couple of different, you know, couple of different articles that talked about them coming to see. So it might have been like a fact finding, like, hey, let's see what they're doing and see, you know, how it's going. But obviously the governor of California is taking things very seriously and, you know, doesn't want to just open things up just for the sake of opening them up. So
and that's probably the smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the hyenas getting the Disney princess treatment.
So this was actually going to be one of my insightful picks, you know, at some point, but this was a cute little article that came out. So there's a cute show, little documentary on Disney Plus. It's narrated by Josh Gad, and they do behind the scenes stories about Disney's Animal Kingdom. So if it's something where you've gone to the park and you've seen some of the animals, you don't really understand how much work is involved with these animals. And the show really gives you that, you know, a better appreciation actually for the park. I know, you know, a lot of people, it's like their favorite park. I know for us, it's our least favorite park. But after watching this documentary, it kind of makes me want to go and visit the park now. You get to know about the different zookeepers and the different animals and all that goes into taking care of the animals. So in this episode that's in this article, it talks about how the hyenas get like a bubble bath and they get like this princess treatment and, you know, kind of get like a little makeover and whatnot. Maddie and I actually watch the show. It comes out every Friday. Disney obviously doesn't drop all of their episodes all at once. So every Friday, a new episode comes up. Last week, the episode, they had a baby zebra that was born and, you know, it was the, you know, one of the first baby zebras, you know, born to the park in so many years. And, you know, so they have all these different tidbits about, you know, different animals and certain animals that you don't even know about that are there and what it takes to, you know, take care of them. The one episode, there was a manatee and he had an infection on his flipper because he had actually been injured and that's how he actually came. He's not at Animal Kingdom. He's actually in Epcot at the Living Seas and they had to take him over to Animal Kingdom to get an MRI and just the, the amount of effort it took to get him because you can't just like wheel him out the front door. They actually had to take him from the roof and a big giant crane to get this, you know, big giant manatee on a truck over to Animal Kingdom. And then he was too big and too heavy for the table. So they had to do all these other things to get, you know, his x-rays done. Fortunately, everything was okay. No issues. And, you know, and then, of course, bringing him back, you know, through the roof and everything. So it really gives you an appreciation for, you know, all the work that they do there. And obviously with the park, you know, when the park was closed, the animals were still there. The animals still needed, you know, to be tended to. So it's a nice, you know, family show to watch, you know, to see a different side of Disney.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because we don't, when we look at the parks, we look at, you know, what's in it for us, what's fun for us, mm-hmm. what's going to keep us occupied.
Right.
And we've always found that Animal Kingdom just didn't have all of the things to keep us going mm-hmm. that Magic Kingdom or right. Studios or whatever would typically have. But a lot of these things here, it's nice that they're doing these programs because you don't see these things.
Right.
When you're at the park, mm-hmm. you know, you don't see all the good that they do, all mm-hmm. the animals that they take care of
right.
and all the science that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to Disney for actually putting the program together to mm-hmm. highlight some of the efforts that,
yeah.
they, that
yeah.
they do. So let's talk about a major reorg at Disney.
So streaming has always been a big part of Disney's next phase, but now it's clear that Disney Plus is truly the company's future. So Disney announced a strategic restructuring of its media and entertainment divisions the other day that positions the company to more aggressively meet its audience where they are, which is at home, using the streaming services and dealing with movies and also the different television shows. So this was news that came out, like I said, earlier this week, and basically talking about a whole restructuring of where things are. And, you know, the CEO basically said the goal is to empower the individual studio and network chiefs to decide where their programming should go, as opposed to having it predetermined that a movie is destined to go to theater and that a TV show should go to ABC. Now they're putting obviously a lot more emphasis on the streaming aspect of it. You know, we talked last week about the new Pixar movie that was supposed to come out in theaters now going to be, streamed on Disney Plus. You know, so they're putting, you know, they're kind of readjusting things because again, the majority of people are home. Not that many people feel comfortable going, you know, to the theater now. So they're kind of realizing, you know, where they can where they're making money right now. And obviously streaming is, you know, where a lot of it is coming from now, because again, not many people are going to the parks, even though some of the parks are open. So kind of reorganizing, re-energizing, you know, everything and, you know, we'll see how it goes. 'Cause obviously it's going better than they thought. That was one of the things we talked about. You know, the amount of subscribers that they have, you know, got to a point where they thought they'd be in a couple of years already now. And again, probably because of the pandemic and everybody's home. Hey, let's, you know, put, you know, more into it. The other thing too is, what the article talked about is that also Disney Plus gives them a good platform for movies that would normally go out into the theaters and probably wouldn't have a very good run, but are good movies. It's just they're not the commercial success, you know, that you'd have for, you know, a Marvel movie. But that with Disney Plus, they'll actually probably get more views for these movies than if they, you know, went a regular theatrical release for it. So,
well, and you know, Disney is probably the single one organization out there that I would expect to be the first and the smartest to make this type of decision.
Mm-hmm.
From a media standpoint, they really have their finger on the pulse of their audience. They know what their audience wants. They know how best to deliver to their audience, and they're smart enough to make these management changes here mm-hmm. to give their media personnel the ability to make those decisions and streamline the process. Mm-hmm. They've done, I think, an outstanding job since the launch of Disney Plus. You know, couple hiccups when it first launched with capacity.
Right.
But I think that was mainly because they did not anticipate being as successful as they were.
Right.
I don't think anyone did.
Right.
But they adjusted to that. They mm-hmm. got everything straightened out. And now they're flooding their streaming service with mm-hmm. new content. When you see other providers like Apple Plus,
right.
You know, I just got a notification that my Apple Plus subscription was extended to February.
Oh, goody.
That's great. But you still got nothing for me to watch. So.
Right.
It doesn't do me any good.
Right. And that's the thing is, because obviously we know we're big, consumers of Disney Plus.
Right.
You know, besides the Star Wars stuff and the Mandalorian stuff, Maddie and I, four times a week, five times a week, we're watching something from Disney Plus.
My insightful pick this week is from Disney Plus, and it's not Star Wars.
Right. Maddie and I went through pretty much every Disney movie. We went in, first we started watching, just Pixar and then whatever. And then we actually went in, age order. So that was a nice little feature. You could, they had the movies in order. And then once we kind of got through them, then it was like, oh, now all of those movies that were direct to DVD, sequels of things. Oh, never saw this one before. And, yeah. And there are movies, like I said, that, I've never even, seen before. And now all of a sudden popping up. And now we're starting to watch some of the live action, movies and things like that. And it was like, oh, look, here's another new movie like
Disney's,
for us to watch.
One of Disney's biggest pluses, no pun intended, is their back catalog.
Right.
But this decision here indicates that they're not just relying on their back catalog.
Right, exactly.
They are prepping for the future of Disney Plus is going to be our at-home theater.
Right.
What are we going to give you for that? There's going to be a stream of things that are going to come out for that. And you're going to have a class of entertainment that's going to be your outlet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still have theatrical releases. You'll still go to the movies to see Avengers and Star Wars, the main movies. But we have an entire set of material that we can give you at home. And they're going to do that.
Right. Like documentaries that normally most people don't see or go to the movies to see. Here's a perfect outlet, for them. So looking forward to it.
Good for them. And that was all we had for our Disney Detective this week. We'll be back in a minute with our Tales from the Edge of the Galaxy. For over 7 years, the Second Sith Empire has been the premier community guild in the online game Star Wars: The Old Republic. With hundreds of friendly and helpful active members, a weekly schedule of nightly events, annual guild meet and greets, and an active community both on the web and on Discord. The Second Sith Empire is more than your typical gaming group. We're family. Join us on the Starforge server for nightly events such as operations, flashpoints, world boss hunts, Star Wars trivia, guild lottery, and much more. Visit us on the web today at www.thesecondsithempire.com. Tales from the Edge of the Galaxy.
Pew, pew. Sorry, it just makes me laugh, that's all. So, obviously, Star Wars fans, we are mere weeks away from getting Season 2 of Star Wars The Mandalorian. There was a new TV spot that came up with new footage that was released, plenty of exciting, casting rumors, obviously, that we've been you know, talking about for a while now. Obviously, Pedro Pascal stars in the series, and he was recently talking in an interview with Variety, where he actually confirmed that he was on set more for the second season. He said for, they said for season two, Pascal says that he was on set far more, though he still sat out many of Mando's stunts, Variety revealed. The site points out that some actors would have walked away from a role that was so constricting, citing how odd would it have been if Robert Downey Jr. only portrayed Iron Man while in the suit. He said, if there were more than just a couple of pages of a one-on-one scene, I did feel uneasy about not, in some instances, being able to totally author that, Pascal explained about playing the role. But it was so easy in such a sort of practical and unexciting way for it to be up to them. When you're dealing with a franchise as large as this, you're such a passenger to however they are going to carve it out. It's just so specific. It's Star Wars. So good to see that he's kind of coming, you know, forward about everything that we've been, you know, hearing back and forth with the rumors, you know, that he got pissed off and, you know, didn't want to do anything. So,
yeah. And, you know, we kind of thought that those rumors were not particularly holding water very well.
Right, right.
And like I said, you know, there's probably some truth to some of what mm-hmm. came out of that. And, you know, I'm sure he's got concerns that, you know, he's an actor. It's going to hurt his career if he's not eligible for, right. you know, an Emmy for right, a show right. that's probably one of the best shows out there right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, legitimate concerns. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But sounds like it was all water under the bridge at this point.
Yeah, and speaking of the Emmys, they were nominated for 15
wow.
this past season, and they actually won 7 out of the 15. Of course, they were all the technical ones, but still, hey,
yeah.
seven Emmys for a freshman show that's, you know, only, what, 8 episodes long?
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that holiday special we all know and love.
So recently, Mark Hamill was being interviewed. They were doing a streaming event. It was the Dean of the University of Southern California, School of Communication and Journalism that had an event, earlier this week. And of course, you know, one of the things that every now and then comes up is, hey, how about that holiday special? So obviously, the infamous 1978 special only aired once on CBS and was never released on video, even though obviously there are copies of it available out there. And obviously, Disney Plus isn't planning on streaming it anytime soon. It was supposed to be about Chewbacca's journey home to spend a Wookiee holiday with his family. And there were celebrity cameos and different segments, which made little sense. And obviously, to anybody that's ever watched it, kind of painful to go through. So Hamill said that he actually almost didn't take part in the special because he just knew how bad it was. He said, when I read the script, he said, I'm not doing this. But what changed his mind? Obviously, it was George Lucas and merchandising. So he had said, so in the interview, he said that George, you know, called to me and said, please do this. You've got to remember, this is Christmas of 1978, a year and a half after Star Wars A New Hope had come out, and George had called him and said, listen, I heard you don't want to do this. And Mark was like, well, it's terrible. It's not Star Wars. It's like a Bob Hope special. And when you think about it, yeah, it really kind of was, and not even a very good one. And so he said, well, we really need to do this for the merchandisers to keep the product alive in people's minds. So just do me a favor. Do this for me. And he said, of course, it's George. How do I not do it? So obviously, you know, he was part of it. Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher also make, you know, brief cameos at the end of it. And then he just said that, you know, George basically was never able to live it down. Like, he said if he could find every copy that there was of this and smash it with a hammer, that would, you know, make his day. You know, it was kind of the point where, you know, George kind of realized everybody makes a mistake and just didn't want to, you know, live it down. And obviously, you know, not to get political, but during the first presidential debate, Mark Hamill actually tweeted out about it, saying that this debate was the worst thing that I've ever seen, and I was in the Star Wars holiday special.
Nice. Very nice.
So, but we are supposed to be getting a new holiday, you know, special, you know, this holiday season on Disney Plus. So hopefully it won't be.
I doubt that will have people forget about the original holiday.
Yeah,
special.
Yeah. That's, you know.
It's, you know what? It's worth a watch.
Oh, absolutely.
As a kid, I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I never remembered seeing it as a kid.
So. I remember that, and I remember the Ewok series and all the other stuff that they came out with to try to keep the whole franchise going. Right. But, you know, you stick a 7-foot-tall Wookiee in a red dress, and what? I mean, how can you not enjoy that, really?
I remember when we, you know, cause I ended up getting you the DVD for one of our first holidays or something together. You know, I got the bootleg copy of it. I remember watching it and the one like song with, what was it, Diane Carroll or something, I think. And it was just like, what is
this? Well, you know, you get the first appearance of Boba Fett.
True.
There you get Bea Arthur.
Right. And you know, Art Carney.
Art Carney. Harvey Korman's in there.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely one of those wow.
You get 30 minutes of Wookiee dialogue without subtitles. That's the other one. Just a bunch of people in gorilla costumes grunting at each other.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
That was some difficult dialogue to write. Anyway, let's talk about a new lightsaber that we can get at Disney.
God knows we don't have enough of them in our house. One day we'll actually give a tour of all of your lightsabers. So one of the most popular modern lightsabers is coming to a galaxy near you, or Galaxy's
Not far,
Edge.
Far away?
Yeah, far, far away. So following a challenge that was on the Disney Parks blog, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Jedi weapon of Kestis. That one. The Padawan survivor of
Order. It's pronounced how it's spelled.
Okay, whatever. Stop making fun of me. So
He.
Okay, he's the Padawan survivor of Order 66 and the starring hero of 2019's critically acclaimed Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order video game. And now you'll be able to get his lightsaber along with obviously all the other lightsabers that they sell at Doc Ondor's Den of Antiquities in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge later next year. Cal's will be the first lightsaber offered at Doc's to have originated from a video game and joins other iconic legendary lightsabers, including Luke Skywalker, Rey, Darth Vader, and more. In the collection. So that was kind of cool because they had people voting on it and it actually does look like a pretty badass lightsaber.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, they've got a diagram up on the website mm-hmm. there. It's a battle damage one that he has.
And, right.
It's one that in the game you actually go around and find the pieces of it to sort of upgrade it and put it together and stuff like that.
Cool.
So I haven't finished the game, but... you know, I played enough of it to have seen the lightsaber.
So hopefully that'll be, you know, something eventually we'll get back down there and
we will eventually get back down there. there are a number of things that I need to purchase again.
Right, exactly.
Still need to make another lightsaber down there with the horn on the end.
Right.
There's lots of money to be spent yet down there.
Absolutely.
I have no doubt.
Nope.
What are you doing this weekend?
I don't know. They did start doing the lightsaber builds again.
Yeah.
Down.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was nice. Something that just started back up. But it looks kind of funny because there was a video that somebody had posted because they have the plexiglass up and the person that's helping to, have you build it, he's wearing the face shield. So looks a little different from when we were there last, December, but still cool.
So that was all we had for Tales from the Edge of the Galaxy.
Pew, pew.
We'll be right back with our entertainment news of the week.
Insights into Teens, a podcast series exploring the issues and challenges of today's youth. Talking to real teens about real teen problems. Explore issues from braces to puberty, social anxiety to financial responsibility. Each week, we talk about the topics concerning today's youth. We look at how the issues affect teens, how to cope with these issues, and how parents, friends, and loved ones can help teens handle these challenges. Check out our video episodes on youtube.com/insightsintothings. Catch our audio versions on podcast.insightsintoteens.com or on the web at insightsintothings.com.
Go for entertainment news.
Pew, pew, pew. No, no sound effect.
Da 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 da
da da da da da. We'll work on that for next time. So longtime friends and co-stars Matt Damon and Ben Affleck appeared in a new video for an homage campaign where a lucky winner would be flown to Los Angeles and get to hang out with the Oscar winners, obviously, once it's safe. And in the video, Affleck and Damon are, basically talking back and forth, trying to, spice things up for their sell. So, of course, Affleck, asked Damon to say things like, come and see Jason Bourne and Batman. And then, of course, Damon responds, oh, Robert Pattinson's coming? And then, of course, he follows up with, dude, Pattinson took your job. So it's kind of cute how they, go back and forth about it. But it does seem that Ben Affleck will wear the cowl again in some new footage of his appearance as Batman in Zack Snyder's Justice League. The 4-hour-long director's cut of the film is scheduled to arrive on HBO Max sometime next year. And then, obviously, in other Batman news with Robert Pattinson, obviously, we had reported about a month ago that he had tested positive for COVID and that had actually put the production of the Batman movie on hold. And now it seems that they have actually started filming again. There were some production stills that came out recently from the movie set. So now, things seem to be slowly coming back up with that. Obviously, now we're going to have to wait a little bit longer because the release date for that movie got pushed out to now March 4th of 2022. So we got a bit of a while before we can see the Batman. So, but good to hear that they're, back in production for it. So
that is good. Yeah, it's good to hear that he's well and we didn't have any major health scares, mm-hmm. Involved there because, everyone and their brother's getting COVID these days.
Yep.
And a lot of people are not faring well with it.
No, not at all.
So Adam Sandler is going to be in our backyard.
Yeah, he's actually been here for a little bit. So Adam Sandler is actually in Philly, where he is filming a new Netflix movie called Hustle. And it's the first major production in the city since COVID, reared its ugly head. So Sandler has filmed scenes along Market Street, has also been spotted, shopping in some of the local stores, eating in some of the restaurants. So in this movie, Sandler plays a basketball scout who has been unjustifiably fired from his position, according to Variety. Sandler's character discovers a once-in-a-lifetime player and brings him to the States in hopes of training him for the NBA. So they have a whole bunch of different NBA players, past and present, who kind of make little cameos throughout the movie. But what was cool was that, he's been seen, staying here as well. One of the cool things was that he actually ended up going to a local music store and bought two guitars. There was some music he wanted to write that night, and he didn't have a guitar with him. So he, went and bought a guitar. One of the local ice cream shops, he went and visited, and, a couple of people stopped and got photos with him. And of course he, went to Pat's to get a cheesesteak. So kind of cool that he's, in the area for a little bit.
Cool. Well, it's always good to have a celebrity in town once in a while. Mm-hmm. I think the last big celebrity thing we had was when Sylvester Stallone and Dolph Lundgren were in town filming for the latest Creed movie.
Oh, right, right.
They were actually over at the Art Museum, as a matter of fact,
right.
And people were taking pictures of them. So
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of cool. Nice.
And that was all we had for entertainment mm-hmm. news?
Yeah, unless we wanted to briefly talk about Comic-Con.
You can briefly talk about it.
Sure. So,
I don't have any slides, though.
Right. Yeah, that's fine. So, New York Comic-Con was last weekend. Everything was virtual. I think in terms of comparing San Diego to New York, I think New York did a much better job. The videos, for the most part, seem to be better produced. There was one that we started watching that we didn't actually really make it a couple of minutes through just because of who the moderator was. They weren't doing a very good job, but most cases.
Yeah, just a hint for any shows out there. Do not have TV critics moderate your shows.
Well, no, because some of them were okay. Now,
the other one that they did on Doctor Who wasn't a great moderator. Like, you know who was a great moderator? The Expanse. Because they had one of the actual actresses.
Right, it was one of the cast.
Yeah. Actually moderated, and there was an excitement. There mm-hmm. was even Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
The Walking Dead panel was moderated by
Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick, thank right. you. Couldn't remember. Look, I can't remember the names, you can't pronounce them. It's a team effort here.
Right, there we go.
I would also suggest that if you are a actor who is going to be doing virtual comic conventions and stuff like that, buy a decent camera, do the lighting in your house correctly, because some of these guys, Norman Reedus, for the love of God, man, get a better setup at home. You look like you're running off of a $5 webcam with a flashlight on you. Hilarious to watch,
mm-hmm.
Especially when he threw the mask on.
The mask on, yeah.
But you can do better.
Right.
Okay. Give me a call. Drop me an email. I'll be happy to help you out. I'll give you some pointers.
Norman, reach out to us, please.
I'll show you what lighting to have, what angles to run. I'll be more than happy to help you out. Help me help you. But yeah, I think the panels went
right,
much better.
And we still didn't even get through all of them. There were still a bunch that, you know, we wanted to watch and just haven't, you know, had time. So it definitely seemed a little bit more organized. And, you know, so I don't know if it was just that they had more time to get things ready than San Diego. But, you know, definitely take a look. It's on their YouTube page, you know, all the different, you know, panels are there. So,
all right. We'll be back in a minute with our insightful picks of the week. Go for your insightful pick.
So my insightful pick is a new show that is on AMC and is called Soulmates. Soulmates paints a future where science can identify your perfect match. So the idea of the show, it's actually kind of interesting. Two episodes have the same cast. You know, each episode is basically its own little story. And basically what it is, you know, sometime in the not too, you know, distant future, there is a company that comes out that says that you can take this test and they'll tell you who your soulmate is. And that, you know, basically everybody, you know, in the world is taking this test, that, you know, all the different talk shows are all talking about people that have taken the test. Soul Connection is the company out there. But of course, you know, people are taking the test who are already with somebody and finding out that they're with the wrong person, you know, so to speak. So it becomes that dilemma of, you know, do you leave your marriage? Do you leave your current, you know, situation to go off and find, you know, that other person? So again, there've only been two episodes so far. It comes out, Monday nights at 10. But again, very interesting because it's all these different, you know, dynamics. The first dynamic, the first episode is a husband and wife and everything, you know, seems okay. And, you know, the wife's brother has been, in bad relationships his whole life and all of a sudden takes the test and meets the love of his life. And within 2 weeks, they're married. And she's kind of, you know, the wife is kind of going back and forth of, you know, do I take the test? Do I not? She has a friend of hers who takes it and her marriage falls apart. The husband kicks her out. So she goes to take the test and then decides, no, I don't want to take it. And she goes and tells her husband, hey, I was going to take this test. I knew we were having issues, but I couldn't go through with it and whatever. And then the husband comes out and says, yeah, I took the test. And so it's like, oh, okay. No. But just very interesting. And again, what's very nice about it is not every episode, you know, so you don't necessarily have to watch them in order and they're all, you know, different storylines. So very, very interesting.
All right. Good pick.
Thank you.
So my pick this week is not a documentary, kind of.
Right.
It is The Right Stuff, a new series on National Geographic or by National Geographic. Available on Disney Plus, the incredible story of the early days of the U.S. space program, based on the iconic bestseller by Tom Wolfe. At the height of the Cold War, newly formed NASA selects 7 of the military's best test pilots to become astronauts. Competing to become the first in space, these men achieve the extraordinary, inspiring the world to turn towards a new horizon of ambition and hope. Now, the show itself is based on the book. It's based on real life events, but it's dramatized. So mm-hmm. It's not a documentary. It is a historical drama, we'll call it. And what, you know, we've only seen the one episode so far. Was it one or two episodes?
We've only seen the one.
The one. Second episode is available. We haven't watched it yet.
We just haven't watched it yet.
What's interesting about it is you get to see sort of behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And some of this stuff is, you know, creative writing for the most part. But the inspiration that happened from the moon landings and the space program and everything, all of that comes out, and that's all genuine. You see some of the historical relationships that occur, and like how some of these guys got selected, how they got along with each other. Mm-hmm. But I think most importantly, you see these seven astronauts who were held up to the world as heroes. Even before they did anything heroic, they were held up as heroes. But the show brings out the flaws that they have. You know, you see that they're just regular guys. They're regular people. They have extraordinary talents. They are extraordinarily brave, but they have all the same flaws, all the same insecurities, all the same weaknesses that everyone else does. And instead of bringing them down to the level of an average citizen, I think if anything, it elevates everyone else to the point of, you know, you can do these extraordinary things, even though you may not think you're an extraordinary individual. So it offers that sense of hope and empowerment the way that the show is done. So it's very well done. The acting is great. The special effects so far have been mm-hmm. spot on. They haven't relied on any archival footage, which is kind of nice. Everything that you see is stuff that's been generated mm-hmm. for the show itself. Right. So that suggests how serious they are about the show itself. So The Right Stuff, available now on Disney Plus. And we'll be right back. So I think that was all we had for this week. I did want to put out a quick programming note that we likely will not be podcasting next week. We've got something going on next week, so we probably won't be available to do the podcast next week. So we're just going to take next week off.
Aw, that's nice of you.
And that way, you know, we can prep to have the following week. We'll be doing three podcasts.
Yes.
We'll be shooting our insights into tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
which will be a podcast on the presidential race. It should be interesting. Mm-hmm. But before we go, I do want to invite folks to check out our long-form articles, which I've neglected to write the last couple of weeks, but have to get back to it.
Slacker.
Our long-form articles on Medium at medium.com/insightsintothings. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Amazon. Our podcasts go live Mondays at 8 a.m. Our video versions of our podcasts you can find as Insights into Things, and our audio podcasts you can find as Insights into Entertainment. We also would love to get feedback from folks. You can email us at comments@insightsintothings.com.
You can find us on Twitter at @insights_things.
We stream 6 days a week on Twitch at twitch.tv/insightsintothings. If you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, you do get a free Twitch Prime subscription, which would help us out tremendously.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightsintothings. Podcast.
We're on Instagram at Insights into Things.
We have audio versions of all of our podcasts at podcast.insightsintoentertainment.com.
And you can get high-res versions of our videos at youtube.com/insightsintothings.
And links to everything and anything, your one-stop shop at insightsintothings.com.
Sure. You got a little violent there.
I'm sorry.
I think that was all we had. Another one in the books.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.